Everyone, welcome back. It is another edition of Inside Boxing. We're presented by PPV.com, part of the Uncrowned Yahoo Sports Network. I'm Dan Canobio. He is the champion, Chris Algieri. I'm coming to you from Pechanga Resort in Temecula, California. Amanda Serrano steps into the ring on Friday night on TikTok Live. The first ever championship fight on TikTok Live will be part of the festivities with many luminary internet sensations, one would say. Teofimo Lopez.
That's a way to put it. That's one way to put it.
More on that in a second. Teofimo Lopez versus Rolly Romero. Saturday night in Las Vegas. An intriguing fight. So we're going to break that all down on this episode of Inside Boxing. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I just got family in town. So I'm excited to get past this episode. No offense, guys.
Oh, wow.
And go hang out with my family. But we got a big
family in town. It's like a Griswold situation. Like you are like, yeah, you know, father-in-law, mother-in-law, cousin Eddie. Is it everyone?
Yeah, basically. And I'm just like, I'm showing them the new additions to the house. And, oh, we just redid this. We did, oh, check this out. Look at the, you know, like, so it is what it is. But literally just picked them up in the airport a couple minutes ago. But now we're here.
So I was getting a coffee down here. Pechanga ran into Cutman extraordinaire Mike Basil.
The mechanic.
He said the same thing that I was thinking. He's like, you see these videos of Chris training?
Yeah.
You see these videos? Like, you, and am I, and he's thinking what I'm thinking. Like, this is more than just, like, moving around in the ring. Like, you're sitting down on these shots.
Have you noticed? Fucking little tremor in the face. Lost some LBs.
I need that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just cut out beer. 2 weeks, I lost, like, 8 pounds. And, haven't had a drink.
Well, okay, but what about you? More training videos have come out. I'm going to ask you every single episode. Like, what are we doing here?
You're going to ask me every single episode? I'm going to say the same thing every single episode. No. Until I go, you know what? Listen,
You just said it. We're going to clip that out.
So there's a comeback and then there's a farewell fight. Those are two different things.
You coming back to come back or are you coming back to say goodbye?
Good. That's a perfect way to put it. Am I coming back to come back? Am I coming back to say goodbye? Also, I'm not coming back. So, like, that's, you know, we're just, this is all a theoretical thought experiment here. But yeah, no, I get in the gym. I always get in the gym. I just don't post it. And recently I have, and it gets people talking, you know?
It's true. You never post it. Like, you'll send it to me. I know what you do, like, your Sunday morning sweat session.
I train 5 days a week in the boxing gym.
So. Love that. I love that. I need to lose some LBs. I wish I looked closer because I'd be in that PAL Boca.
Yeah. We got a group of dudes.
Hard body karate.
Hard body karate.
Love that. I'd be in there. I need it. It's the gut. It's getting deeper. Let's talk about the championship fight we have this weekend. Teofimo Lopez, Rolly Romero. Rolly is the WBO welterweight champion of the world. Teofimo Lopez, first fight at 147 pounds. Rolly hasn't fought in quite a long time. Teofimo is coming off of the one-sided loss to Shakur Stevenson right into a title fight, because that's what boxing is these days. An intriguing fight, a strange fight. Is it a big fight? Doesn't feel like a big fight. It's a title fight. Doesn't feel like a title fight. I'm going to watch. It's intriguing personalities. I think style clash. It might not be a super exciting fight. But it's still something on the schedule. I've just been dying for a big fight, and this is a biggish fight. Would you agree there?
This is a ridiculously failed marketing fight. Ridiculously bad marketing. You have two guys who can sell a fight with some of the best in the world at the time right now. No marketing. Very, very little face-to-face, very little, I mean, fanfare. Awful. Like, awful. Really, really, really stupid. They're not trying at all. They're doing the bare minimum. They almost expect, like, oh, these guys are talented at this, so let the talent do its work. No, you got to get it out. That's not the way the world works anymore. If this was a top-ranked show, they would have been blasting these guys in their face constantly, interviews, sit-downs, There's been none of that. This has been such a...
So do you think it's like a...
Such a mishandling.
...thing? Or is it like a... Like, who's failing here? Because I feel like they're putting out a lot. Like, they're putting out a lot of content. None of it's really, like, super, like, intriguing. But, like, if you say it's like a top rank thing, like you think top rank would puts out better content than maybe PBC does?
No question. That's I don't think that's ever been a question. Listen, I love PBC. They have great talent. They don't market fights well. They never have. It's been their failing their entire existence. Top Rank does it the right way. And if this was a Top Rank show, I think these guys would be out there a lot more. There'd be a lot more interest. PBC doesn't care to do that. They make good matchups. This is a good matchup. It's a good fight with two guys who are talented. But like, you're not capitalizing on what they're good at. These guys are both good at selling fights. I'm in this world. I'm not moved.
I think they're trying very hard. Like T.O. versus Rolly's on like the posters. Like that we know these two guys. They've been in the limelight for the last 5 years. Like Rolly has been in some big fights. He's fought Tank Davis. He's fought Ryan Garcia. He's fought them all. Like he's criminally slept on in terms of he'll get into the ring with anyone. And Teofimo's been on the biggest stage since.
Will also get in the ring with anyone.
Right, and they're big personalities, and they're I just don't think it's like really like a promotional thing. I think it's more of like it's just hard to break through into the mainstream. Like I think a lot of boxing fans will tune in. If you're trying to grab casual viewers, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think it doesn't matter who fights. But it's still an intriguing fight.
I disagree. These guys are both good at making viral moments. Like, and there's been none of that.
None.
I think there was
there hasn't been many viral, but they were like, I think DAZN has put out a lot of content with the two of them.
And it's just not hitting.
It's just not, I don't know. I just don't think it's like, I think they've tried everything.
My algorithm is boxing, and it hasn't hit my algorithm, so I don't know what the hell they're doing.
I saw that they did a kick stream, which is kind of funny because that's what we did at MVP. Did it with Rampage, and that worked. So I don't know. Like I know they're trying that. They're doing a lot of other stuff there. Regardless, still going to be a fun fight. Speaking of the promotion, did you see Rolly ramped it up at the grand arrival? So Rolly says he beat Ryan Garcia and he was on estrogen. What does that mean? Like, on estrogen?
I didn't see this.
Taking estrogen pills?
I didn't see this, but...
This hasn't hit your algorithm yet?
No. Maybe I'm shadow banned. I must be shadow banned. I think the boxing...
This actually came out, yes, last night. Last night when they did their little grand arrival, you know, like interview in the ring inside the MGM.
All right, give me some background. What?
Yes.
Because he says a lot of wild shit that makes zero sense. This also makes zero sense.
He literally said, I beat Ryan Garcia on estrogen. No one followed up. I was wanting the follow-up from Sean Satel. I wanted the follow-up from whoever boots on the ground there. Like, what do you mean? Like, you're taking estrogen pills? Isn't that to, like, fight off, like, when you have too much testosterone in your system?
No. But, again, without any context, this is why. Like, why would there be no follow-up? I know this guy says all
the And then he
the
also
shit.
Says he should be in the Hall of Fame. He also said he should be in the Hall of Fame because if I beat Teofimo Lopez, and the only fighter that is Hall of Fame worthy these days, he says, is Shakur Stevenson, which I guess he's forgetting about, like, Usyk, Bivol, Canelo, Terrence Crawford, just the many other, Chocolatito. For some reason, only brought up Shakur Stevenson, who beat Teofimo. So Rolly says, if I beat Teofimo, I should be in the Hall of Fame.
George Kambosos also beat Teofimo. He will never see the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Famer.
In the air. You'll never
see. Well, actually, you know, they pretty much let anyone into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, not me. They don't let me in. No.
You might get in as a podcaster.
I would much rather be in as a broadcaster than as a fighter, honestly. No, I shouldn't say that. I wouldn't rather be, but I'm like, there's a way better chance of me being in as a broadcaster. I mean, his career's not done yet, and he's still super young, so, like, I can't say he's never going to be in the Hall of Fame or shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but currently, he should not. Beating T.O., still, I think not. Even though he's a three-division world champion, which blows my fucking mind. Because he was basically on his way to losing to Barocho, and then got a thank you stoppage.
He could have three straight losses.
Why was he a 35-pound champion? Who'd he beat?
That's a good question. I know he lost to Gervonta Davis, knocked out.
Yeah.
He got knocked down and was like should have lost to Barroso. Follow that up. Loses to Isaac Cruz.
I also called the Marinho's fight. I thought he lost that as well at 35.
Well, he's on this card I'm at right now.
Yeah, Marinas
is fighting.
Marinas, he was actually okay, but I thought he 100%.
He's fighting Avius Griffin here in Pachanga. Yeah,
I thought he 100% beat Rolly when they fought.
Yeah, I know. So like, this guy is talking a big game, Rolly. Like, dude, you could have like four straight losses. Beat Manuel James, then the win over Ryan Garcia.
He didn't look great in that Manuel James fight either. I called that fight as well as the undercard of Canelo.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's like Rolly is an enigma. He's a strange cat. I mean, he has the respect of boxing fans because I just think he's been avoided. The Ryan Garcia win was really a nice win, even though it was a heinously boring.
Without
fight.
That win, we're not even talking about him. That's
I know
the truth of the matter.
Right. That's the deal with Rolly. As for Teofimo, he beat Josh Taylor, Jermaine Ortiz, Steve Claggett, Barboza, the loss to Shakur, which his dad has come out and said was a big mistake. And Teofimo has said it's a mistake. One of the most
Lomachenko. He also beat Lomachenko.
Yeah, I just did last five.
Oh, okay. But I mean,
he beat Lomachenko.
You can never not mention Lomachenko.
Right, beats Lomachenko, loses to Kambosos. You know, has the wins over Sandor Martin. Comes back with a Josh Taylor at 140, Ortiz at 140, Claggett 140, Barboza 140, Shakur at 140. First fight at 147 pounds for Teofimo. Did not have power at 140. Had the power at 135. That's my main thing with Teofimo is how does he acclimate to 147? He is not a big guy. There were some bigger guys at 147 currently. Ryan Garcia bigger than Teofimo. Haney bigger. Crocker bigger. Rolly a little bit bigger, not as much. But I want to know how the power transfers for Teofimo to get these guys off of him at welterweight.
It doesn't matter about these guys. It only matters about Rolly. And Rolly's not a big guy either. He's bigger than Tio, I'll tell you that. But he's short, he's stocky, he's stout. He's not a real 47-pounder either. So we had two guys who are essentially coming up from 135. So I don't think the size is going to matter as much. I think Rolly's is bigger, but I don't think that's going to be a big factor in this fight.
But just in terms of Teofimo as a welterweight, you know, this is where he's going to campaign. I don't see him going any higher than welterweight. I don't see him going back to 140. So for the next foreseeable future, Teofimo Lopez is a welterweight. So I want to know how that power is going to translate here because we didn't see it at 140. And he is not like a guy that's going to throw a lot of punches. Like he slows down the pace. I just want to know where he is moving forward in his career.
If he stays at 147, his career ends there.
Where else is he going to go?
No, but I mean, it's going to end early. He's not going to be able to compete with these guys. I'm telling you.
He just said, I just signed a huge deal with DAZN. I'm the first fighter to ever sign directly with DAZN. DAZN invested in me.
Cool. Who are you beating at 147?
I think he's going to beat Rolly.
I think he is too. But again, Rolly, okay, is a 35-pounder. I don't think he beats Real Welterweight.
He doesn't beat Haney.
No.
Doesn't beat Haney. What about Ryan Garcia?
I don't think he beats Ryan either.
I'm just curious, like, what is Teofimo? Like, I'm trying to figure out Teofimo. Because, like, 135, this guy was unreal and had game-changing power so quick. 140, he was still good, but, like, he saw some cracks in the armor. 147, I feel like he's going to have even less power. And he, like I said, he's not, like, he's going to have to outbox these guys.
He's going to have less power also because, like, he wasn't struggling to make 40. It's not like, it was sapping my power to fight at 140. He was small for 140. I told him that when he first came back. Like, when I came back. So, he grabs me. He's like, I heard you're coming back. And I'm like, he was like, well, wait, 140. He's like, I might move up to 140. And I just literally put my arm around him like this. And I squeeze him real close. And I go, you're too small, buddy. I'm like, he's like, I want to go up to 140 eventually. I'm like, yeah, you got power. You'll be all right. But, like, you're not a 40-pounder at all. And he was
this like 2020?
2019. 2020. Yeah, 2021. But literally, I grabbed him and hugged him, and I'm like, yeah, you're a much smaller guy. 140-pounders are big. He's not a 40-pounder either, and now he's going to 47. He's going to have a rude awakening at 47. You mentioned Lewis Crocker. He's huge.
I haven't mentioned him yet. No one mentions Lewis Crocker.
You just did. You mentioned him before, Crocker.
I haven't, but you did. Thank you.
Right.
Because I wanted to mention
him. He's huge. He's a really, really big 47-pounder. Liam Paro is small for 47. He's another guy who's blown up into the weight. He was able to beat Crocker, but yeah, he's...
Well, like Hitchens.
Hitchens is... I mean, he's a 40-pounder, but he's a big...
No, Hitchens' last fight was at 47.
I know, but he was a big 40-pounder. Teo's not a big 40-pounder. Yeah. He's moving up just to move up. Like, he's not... Like, he wasn't forced to move up.
No, you know what he's doing, Jared? He's moving up because he needs a rebirth of his career. Yes. He needs to wipe the slate clean. And in boxing, if you have a loss, as bad of a loss as the Shakur fight was, because that was a bad loss. I don't care what you want to say. Like, yeah, they sold out the Garden. It was a nice event. He got just undressed.
Schooled.
Yeah. For 12 rounds. So what do? You go to a new weight class with all new attractions, all new challenges. You get yourself right into a title fight because that's just the way boxing is now. And you get yourself into a favorable matchup with Rolly Romero. So this is a way for him to wipe the slate clean and campaign in a new weight. Like, I know we're looking way too far ahead, so, like, what is he going to be? But this is his first fight at 147, and I'm just curious on, you know, how he'll fare at this weight class.
Yeah, but it's not like I struggled to make the weight. That was the excuse why I didn't do well against Shakur. Like, literally, he was on Dan Raphael's podcast, and he asked him about fight. And Dan was giving him a backdoor to, hey, was there something else wrong outside of camp? He's like, no, just a better man won. I got schooled.
Well, I'm glad he said that.
No, it was
I'm glad
it was
he's
refreshing.
Saying that.
It was refreshing.
Yeah, because I feel like he is maturing right in front of our eyes because he had some pretty just rough moments.
But also,
the last, like,
you can't say that and then go, I'm moving up. Because, you know, because, like, then it's like, you didn't need to move up. You're moving up because of you need to reinvent yourself because you took such a bad loss, like you said. Not a good look.
No, but I do want to see him if he wins. I want.
But again, I think he beats Rolly.
So do I. A big story here too is the relationship with his dad. It's always going to be a story with Teofimo Lobovitz. It's always going to be part of the fight week build up, fight promotion. I wanted to bring this up on last episode, but we ran out of time. But here we are talking about Teofimo Lopez. I want to play this video right now. This is on the Versace podcast. Here it is.
Wasn't me.
Yeah.
Not this time.
No, it was you too.
Not this time.
No, you let him.
And
have
that's the part where
tell me that you didn't let him have it.
What do you expect?
You
when
gave
I,
it to
I got
them.
I got my every son wants to make their father proud. Am I right? When you got your father in that moment, when you're bleeding, when they're allowing Shakur to do all these extra things, and you're in there, and you're broken the record for the most attendance in Madison Square Garden, you're this and you're that. And your trainer is not giving you instructions. They're just talking you down. Where's your power?
Bro, what happened to your fucking power, bro?
Where's this?
You gotta hit him, bro!
You're gonna hate yourself?
Bro, you're gonna hate yourself, bro.
All roads
lead. You
didn't
box in that
all
fight.
Roads, but
every
do
time.
You not understand?
I'm not even gonna argue with you because you're blaming me for it.
Look,
what did you say after the fight? You didn't listen to your father. That's what you said,
because
right?
I'm gonna advocate for you. At the end of the day, I'm an advocate.
Who's Slick Boxer Gordo?
I know who that is. I know who that is.
Didn't I tell you the Slick Boxer Gordo?
But who got me there?
Well, that is a lot to unpack right there.
That was rough. What podcast was that? What podcast was that?
Versace. You know, Rick Reno.
What is that?
It's a ring podcast.
That's the thing?
What?
The Versace podcast?
That is a thing, yes.
Is it sponsored?
You know, Rick Reno.
I know who Rick Reno is. Is it sponsored by Versace, the actual brand?
No, I don't think Versace has any affiliation with it, nor do I think they want to affiliate with Rick Reno.
That's not surprising. But
you're right. Yeah, I don't think they're going to have any marketing deals together. But
anyway.
In terms of what you just heard.
That was rough. That was hard to...
That's like therapy session that we're all going to sit here and watch. But it's the Teofimo show. You've been part of it. You've been in the fighter meeting.
Yeah.
I've seen the team.
Yeah.
I feel like they're at like a...
Much worse than that, actually.
That was more like therapeutic. I feel like Teofimo has said, like, I'm going to give my dad one more shot. Teofimo's dad has said, I was on drugs. I'm clean now. Like, he needs like a real trainer. I think he... said this numerous times, but what do you make of that right there, what you just heard from senior and junior?
So as someone who had a trainer who was on drugs for the biggest fight of my career, and dealing with what a camp is like with someone who is dealing with substances, it does make a huge, huge effect on a fighter. Especially if, I mean, it wasn't my father, but like it's his father. So there is that. So even though I'm going back on what I said earlier about him, like, oh, he didn't need to move up. He needed a reinvention. But like, listen, that's a legitimate issue to have a corner that is not on the level. Because again, I've been there and that's why I can speak to it. But that was also really hard to watch. And that was something that probably should have been behind closed doors, but it was on a podcast, which is unfortunately the world we live in. But it does give a little credence to Teofimo's performance and where he's at. And hopefully that they are both, as a father and son, are past that. I like the Lopez's. I like them a lot, both of them. Tio and his dad, both junior and senior, are good people. I've spent time personally with them. I like them both a lot. But yeah, hopefully that is resolved and they can move forward and Tio can be what we've seen him to be, because he's one of the best fighters in the world when he's at his best.
I think he is locked in for this fight. I think he knows this is like make or break. He loses this fight, that's two straight losses, and now what? But I also like think he's dragging dead weight here with his dad. I think he really needs
a
trainer,
right?
He'll
never
get
rid of his dad.
I know, it's insane. Like, dude, like, how about just making your dad the... Yeah, I think it's all or nothing. Because I would say, how about making your dad, like, you know, a second...
Well, he used to have Joey Gamache. And Joey's a friend of mine from New York, and I talked to him about working with Tio, and he told me, I asked him, like, what is it like working with Tio? He's like, he's such a phenomenal athlete. He's like, well, you just work defense. And that's when Tio's defense was, like, really on point. I'm like, you need a guy like that.
I thought the Shakur fight, he like you said, like, why were you saying just where's your power? Where was the instructions? Like,
zero.
Where was the adjustments? His dad was just blurting out shit.
Look at Bill Haney and Devin.
Yeah.
I think they've done a really good job because Bill allows other coaches to come in and work with
his
son. And because he knows he's not a boxing coach, but he knows how to talk to his son. And that matters. And I think having T.O. Sr. in the corner being like, where's your power, bro? After a coach says, hey, we got to land that right hand. We're going to set it up by stepping to the left and putting the double jab out there to the air and then dropping that right hand to the chest. And then his dad comes in and goes, you know, let's put the power on that. Put some sank on that. You know, like that makes a lot of sense. And that's how Bill works with Devin.
The chain of command.
Correct.
Yes, that's what I say. He should be in the corner. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But don't be the first voice.
Cheerlead,
like, you know?
For sure. But you're a substitute. You're not a substitute, but you're like you're
rah-rah. Like, you're the guy that's going to get through to your son in ways that no one else can, but not the technical.
You're the side dish. You're the potato to the steak.
Well, the Teofimo Sr. does not want to be that. He wants to be in front of his son. He wants to be... He's living vicariously through. I've seen it with my own eyes. Like, we've hung out. Like, the dad is... Teofimo babysits the dad.
Love his dad, by the way. Love his dad.
Yes, he's a fine person, but like we're talking about in the context of being a world-class trainer when your son's career is on the line here. Like, he just lost to Shakur 12-0, and now he's bouncing back with a gift opportunity to become a welterweight champion to set himself up for massive paydays. He wins this fight. We're looking at a Haney fight. We're looking at a Ryan Garcia fight. We're looking at unifications. This is setting up the second part of Teofimo's career, and I do think it's very important to have the right voices in your corner. But like you said, we've known this about Teofimo, is he kind of thrives off of the chaos. And he probably enjoys this to a certain degree. Still think he needs a real trainer. Like, I'm seeing Roy Jones' name being thrown out there. Just anyone. I would just love to see Teofimo with a real time, like a real trainer to bring out that athleticism and to help maybe help him get through 147 pounds and highlight the athleticism. Because that's what's going to be his thing here at welterweight, is being a superb athlete. If you don't have the power per se, you know what I mean? Like, showing off some of that great defense, showing off some of the things we saw at 135.
I'm trying to think who I'd like to see him with.
I don't know why Roy, a bunch of people were tweeting me Roy Jones. Did Roy Jones say something like he wanted to train with him?
Oh, I mean, honestly, in terms of athleticism and his ability to do things that don't...
That's probably why.
I mean, the kid will literally tap his ankle and hit you with a right hand. Like, it's very Roy-esque. But I think the defense wouldn't work that way. I think Roy's different. Roy shouldn't teach anyone how to be Roy. I'm sorry.
That's what I mean. It's like when Wayne Gretzky tried to coach in the NHL. It's like, be like me. I'm Wayne Gretzky.
I actually think Eddie Reynoso is where he should go.
Did he? He was part of that for a very
short period of time. Because one thing about Canelo, he's a fantastic counterpuncher, and they've really, really worked and gotten better at that. So is Tio. Tio's not an offensive guy. Tio, listen, quote unquote, his asthma is a problem. He can't push the way a lot of other fighters can. He just doesn't have the gas tank, the endurance to do that. But his explosiveness, his sprinting ability, his counterpunching, his awareness, all of that is otherworldly. You just got to focus on that. When he has to stalk you down, he's not what we saw against Shakur Stevenson. He can't do that. He's not world class like that. But it's,
well, Rolly's not going to present that in this fight. No. Rolly is not going to present a lot. What Rolly's going to present is a lot of awkwardness, physicality. Like, has that judo background.
So awkward.
He's got that. So awkward. Hits like a mule. Yeah. I'm not trying to discredit Rolly at all. Like, yeah, he's got some questionable fights on his ledger, but I feel like a lot of guys do today. You can pick through a lot of people's resumes. He is good. Like, Rolly Romero has improved over the years and is just so freaking awkward. And I think that's the number one thing is, like, how do you prepare for such an awkward fighter like Rolly? Another thing with Rolly, he hasn't been in the ring, man. This guy hasn't fought since the Times Square card. Like, I feel like so much has happened since then. That's a long-ass time ago. That's well over a year. We're looking at 14 months of inactivity for Rolly. Not good.
The fact that they sparred is a huge factor in this fight. Because, like, how do you prepare for Rolly? Well, I've been in the ring with Rolly. I've already sparred.
Well, they're like, yeah, best buddies apparently too.
Fuck that. There's no best buddies in boxing.
I love the fact that they're fighting each other. Like Shakur Stevenson, take notes.
Listen, Shakur, dude, I'm tired of the Twitter stuff. I know you want to call everybody out, whatever. Like, but the fights don't happen, and it is what it is. But with these guys, are actually fighting each other. I've said this on our show before. Fuck friends. Go fight. Go make millions of dollars together. Go beat each other up. You do it for free in the gym anyway. These guys have sparred each other. But you mentioned, like, how do you prepare for a guy like Rolly? Is he so awkward? Well, they've already sparred together. The awkwardness is not going to be there in terms of, you know, like, you're going to be surprised. There's no surprise for these guys. They know what they're dealing with. Now, does that play into Teofimo being just the better boxer and Rolly being like, this guy's just better at this. I got to find a way to be, got to catch him kind of thing. And then he kind of folds. Or does he, you know, turn into, all right, I got to find a way. Or does Tio go, listen, I know this guy. I know how he is. I'm going to get him. And then he underestimates him. So there's a lot of ways it can go. I fought a couple sparring partners in my professional career. It sucks because there's the, yeah, I used to beat you in sparring, but now we got to fight for real. And you know, kind of like my surprise tactics already, you know, so I gotta either find something new or I just gotta do it on what I normally do. And eventually that's actually worked out for me. I beat both the guys I fought that were former sparring partners. One was Eric Bonet and one was Danny Gonzalez. But like my initial surprise stuff was all out the window. They already knew me. So I just had to beat them on, you know, just hard work.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this is. They're friends. Like that they're fighting. They know it's an opportunity. Like, just something I'm seeing a lot in boxing. It's not just Shakur, but he's like the mean guy that won't fight Keyshawn Davis or like got his little click.
It's total nonsense.
It's very, very strange. Let's go to the odds. Teofimo is a -280 favorite. Rolly is the underdog here at +205. A little surprised by that, but not really. I think Teofimo is the favorite here. Rolly stoppage. Many believe that's Rolly's only path to victory here. +800. Teofimo stoppage, +380. Teofimo decision, -150. Rolly decision, +340. There is value here if you believe that Rolly, who's constantly slept on, can pull off this upset of Teofimo, first time at 147.
Wow, Vegas.
It's intriguing.
Vegas is really heavy on Tio, huh?
The line has gotten bigger. Like, it was closer. But I think there must be some. There's a lot of money coming in on Teofimo. I'm reading a lot of tweets like he's going to run through him. But like once again, like Rolly, this is where Rolly wants to be. Like Rolly likes being the underdog. He likes people doubting him. He likes to say that I'm avoided by this fighter, this fighter, that fighter. Everyone's avoiding me. I'm the underdog. I think Rolly likes that position. But those are the odds. Like, I'm looking. I think Teofimo should come out here. Like, the thing is like the power of Teofimo. Is he going to win by stoppage, or is he going to win by decision? Because it's minus odds for a Teofimo decision, which I think is the most likely scenario here. Would you agree?
I do. I don't see T.O. stopping Rolly's. I don't see Rolly stopping T.O. either. So I do think we end up getting a 12-rounder. And I think that Rolly probably finishes strong in the fight. But I think I got T.O. in like a 8-4, maybe 7-5 kind of situation. I think maybe he struggles a little bit late with the physicality and his endurance. But I think T.O. is just a better boxer in general. So, and he's gonna have to box. He's not gonna go in there and blast Rolly out.
I'm changing my mind. I'm going with Teofimo by stoppage.
Really?
Just change it on a whim. Yes, I think Teofimo is going to have a virtuoso performance. Ugh, I think he's gonna
steamroll.
He's gonna go right through Rolly Romero.
I just like what T.O. is on his A game.
I think T.O.'s gonna. This is gonna be an awakening for Teofimo. He's gonna say, you know what? This is Teofimo 2.0. This is the newest version of me. And I just stopped my friend Rolly. I'm back at 147. I'm a champion at 147. Bring on the unification fight.
Three division champion.
Yeah, talk about Hall of Fame. There you go.
I think T.O. is gonna be in the Hall of Fame regardless of this fight. Honestly.
So I like Teofimo by stoppage. And you get that at plus 380.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. And you're going with T.O.
T.O.
by decision.
Yep. In a tough fight.
And your reasoning was, please say it once again.
I don't. So where have we seen Rollies get stopped? Gervonta Davis, who is literally a bombshell.
Cruz,
who is a super offensive fighter. Teofimo Lopez is not.
Should have been stopped by Barroso.
He
was out, dude. Referee saved him.
But Barroso's
knocked down numerous times.
Barroso's a legitimate puncher at 140. T.O. is not.
Yeah.
T.O. is not.
I'm just saying, he was down in that fight, too.
Yeah, yeah. But Teofimo's not a puncher at 40. He's definitely going to be a puncher at 47. So, yeah, I mean, a chin is suspect for Rollies. I don't know. I don't see T.O. being able to
I don't think it'll be one punch knockout. I'm talking accumulation.
I don't see that either. I see that even less. I think T.O. counterpunch puts you away. That's possible. I don't see it at this weight class, and I don't see him, you know, unloading the magazine and getting him out of there. He's not dumping the clip and finishing it. Because when's the last time we've seen T.O. do that? T.O. doesn't do that.
So you're saying I'm wrong here?
I mean, we're only going to know on Saturday. So we might be coming back on a Sunday and being like, well, Dan was right.
I just think he's going to make it look – I just think it's going to be
– If it's a Taylor performance, I mean
– Yeah, something like that. Like, I'm just saying stoppage is something I'm feeling. But I think it's like a Taylor-esque where we're seeing, like, the ulti. He's having fun in there.
It would be good
for
the sport. No question about that.
He's in complete control. He wins the fight, blowout or stoppage. As for the rest of the card, not the strongest offering here. Yo-Yo Hernandez is fighting Francisco Verón.
Like him a lot. Like him. Francisco Verón like is a Pro Box TV fighter. He is a son of a bee.
So we got a good one here.
The guy throws a million punches.
Okay. I just want to see what Yo-Yo's got.
And
I want to see what Yo-Yo's about.
So Verón's a former Argentinian Olympian. He's no joke. I'm surprised they actually made this fight, but Yo-Yo is just different.
He is at 160. He could be the future of 160. A division that is wide open. Gary Antonio Russell. Not to be confused with Gary Antoine Russell. Not to be confused with the eldest Russell. This is a different Russell brother. He's fighting Victor Santillan. Interesting card here from PBC. Rolly and Teofimo are the main attractions. That is Saturday night. On DAZN pay-per-view, Amazon pay-per-view. We will be watching. Love that. Anything else? Anything lastly on that before we get to Hamza Shiraz real quick?
I will be watching that with my family, probably barbecuing.
Love that. And then, that's amazing.
And then you and I might be podcasting in the middle of the night after that.
Oh, God, yeah. I haven't got that far yet. We're only on Thursday, and I'm in Temecula, California. I haven't thought about Saturday night on Long Island, where mindset I will be in. Hamza Shiraz, we talked about this last episode, is ordered to fight Janibek at 168 pounds. Crazy. So Shiraz goes on Ariel Helwani's show. Go check that out, part of the Uncrowned Network.
I watched
it. He goes and does the media rounds. Okay, so you saw this, Chris. His quotes are absolutely batshit crazy from Shiraz. Like, this dude, I'm going to read them out. I think it's a joke. I think what the WBO has done here is disgraceful to the sport of boxing. What they're essentially doing is rewarding someone who's popped. I don't disagree with that. It's supposed to come down to ulterior motives and corruption. I feel like it's all based on personal relationships. Wrong messenger, right message. We agree. Like, Janibek should not be rewarded with a title shot coming off of PEDs. I agree there are personal relationships involved here. Why Janibek is getting. He's got a high manager and promoter and all that. Shiraz is not the right messenger for this. The dude was gifted a title shot. Vacant title shot against Alan Bedric. It was one of the worst mandatories you'll ever see in Alan Bedric. His first defense against Simon Zackenhuber. I understand some guys have turned it down and whatnot. He was gifted a draw versus Adamas. He was given the fight with Berlanga off that draw with Adamas. He is clearly a favorite of Turkey's. He has gotten preferential treatment. The reason he's yapping so much and so upset, because I don't think he believes he can beat Janibek. He wants another soft touch at 168. I just think it was absurd. Like, does this guy even, like, understand that he was given a lot of preferential treatment in this situation?
Our last show, I said that this fight's happening for preferential treatment. And then he made me look like a goddamn fool and going on and saying this nonsense. Bro, go whip his ass. Go beat Janibek up and use his name. You're supposed to be the guy at 168. You got a guy moving up who's got a big name and a former world champion, former unified world champion at 160, who hasn't fought in a year and change and is clean. Beat the shit out of him and take claim. This is, You said it perfectly. You're not the messenger for this speech. Not a good look. Not a good look. We live in a world of these fighters who talk way too fucking much. Go fight. Marvin Hagler is rolling over in his grave every single time these guys get to Twitter, these guys sit on podcasts. Can you imagine Marvin Hagler on a podcast? Never.
I'd love to interview him.
Never. He wouldn't interview you. He would not let you interview him.
What do you mean?
He would.
I met him once at the Mystic Hilton Hotel.
Yeah, I met him at Aruba. He basically told me to kick rocks. He would tell you to kick rocks.
He didn't. He moved to Italy for a reason. Yeah. He didn't want to be bothered.
I met him and his Italian wife in Aruba, and he did take a photo with me in his in his Speedo.
I think you'd join Inside Boxing. I think you'd be right in the middle, me and you.
No chance. No chance. Mm. That man was hard as stone. You would not get him on a podcast. You would not get him in an interview that was engaging for more than a couple minutes. No, he's rolling over in his grave.
Quick catch up.
When these guys start talking with Twitter fingers and podcasts with mics.
So you are, Chris.
Listen, I'm not a fighter. I can talk shit. I can be here and say this or that or whatever. Like, I don't know. These fighters talking, it's
very, very annoying. It's very, very, very frustrating. I liked Shiraz too. I thought this guy's different when he came in. I was like, this guy's different. But then the way he's been moving, like the draw with Adamas, okay, like you lost that fight.
Yeah, lost that fight. You are tough Turkey's fight. Fought his ass off. Whatever. Got beat by a better.
Right, you killed yourself to make 160. You go to 168, and obviously some fights didn't go your way. I think you would have liked to have fought a Munguia, I think. Would have liked to have gotten a tougher test than Bedric. I mean, he's gotten good treatment by
destroyed WBO. Berlanga in his home. Like, that was
right. That was nasty. A huge, huge opportunity for Shiraz to do that in New York.
Completely lost the momentum.
Right, and it's very clear you're getting preferential treatment. You talk about how Janibek's getting preferential treatment. You are Turkey's boy. Turkey wants you to fight Canelo. Like, Turkey's, like, And then Shiraz has all these glowing things to say about Zufa. Like, they're doing great. This guy is just Zufa bound. He is the most, the picture, poster boy for Zufa. Go fight over there and win a Zufa belt, and you don't have to be challenged. Like, I don't like what he's saying here. Like, I do, like, the part about the PEDs, yes. But, like, the ulterior motives, the corruption, like, the personal relationships, like, when you are coming off of a defense against Simon Zackenhuber, where you're a minus 3,000 favorite. You were also a minus 3,000, if not more, against Alan Bejic. And that was for the vacant WBO title. Like, maybe, like, pipe down a little bit.
I fought a bunch of guys, like, who popped after we fought. I would love to fight a guy who popped right before I fought him. Because you're gonna get a guy who's not as good as the guy that you saw, and you get to whip his ass because he's a cheater. I look at this, I'm like, Janibek, he's come from a new weight class, and he's clean. I'm whipping your fucking ass. You're a cheater. You don't belong in this sport. I'm whipping.
Yeah, why isn't he saying that?
I'm whipping your ass, and I'm gonna build my name off yours.
Why isn't he saying that? He's saying. I feel like he's gonna vacate the title. I feel like he's not gonna fight him. I think he's gonna give up the WBO strap. I don't know. That just annoyed me. That's just the unfortunate stuff there from Hamza Shiraz. All right, so I'm here in Temecula, Chris. It's the first ever championship fight on TikTok Live. And Amanda Serrano is the main event. She's fighting to break Christy Martin's knockout record. She's currently sitting on 32 knockouts. 50th win, which is insane. She's fighting the WBO number two.
So this is her 50th. No. 50th win?
She's going for her 50th win.
She's 49. She has 49 wins?
49 wins.
Jesus. What a.
In women's boxing. What a. She's 32 knockouts.
That's crazy. Wow.
It's absurd. I know.
Am I bugging? I did not know that she had that many fights.
Well, they're kind of like, they're obviously hyping up the knockout record, and they're kind of diminishing the fact that she's about to win number 50.
Yeah. She's 49-4-1. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Absolute pioneer.
So, yeah. So, that's a big deal. Like, 50 wins was a big deal for Floyd Mayweather. We're not talking about her 50th win. That's crazy.
We're talking about the knockout record because it's a record. Like, 50 is not a record.
But let's talk about 50.
I'm going to wrap it all into one. Yeah, I'm going to wrap it all into one when I'm on TikTok, when TikTok Live, hosting this watch party. But that's the main event. Jamal Harvey is on this card. He's a really good-looking Olympian. There's some really good Jocelyn Camarillo, who you call on Pro
Box. Oh, yeah,
she's
very good. Yeah, she's good.
She's really good, and she's got the it factor. Did some content with her. But the catch here is that it's going to be on TikTok Live. There's going to be a traditional broadcast on MVP's YouTube, Christina Poncher, Corey Erdman, Raul Marquez. When you go over to TikTok, you're going to see my dumb face.
That kind of messes it up.
Some influencers, some TikTokers.
So at least you're going to be surrounded by good-looking girls, at least, right? So it'll make you look
right.
Will that make you look worse or better?
I think it's going to make me look great. I'm going to look like an absolute boss.
I'm thinking of remember the movie Hall Pass? Where he's like, oh, that girl's so hot. And he goes, no. He's like, black out the friends. And you see like how ugly she is. Like, are we going to do that with you? We're going to be out there like.
I don't know.
Dan looks really good right now. Wait. Black out the hot girls. No. Yeah. Dan looks bad.
Yeah. So I'm hosting the first ever TikTok championship fight with some influencers, some creators. It's going to be me. It's going to be Sophie Rain. It's going to be Natalie Reynolds. It's going to be Juana Walton, some other guests.
I thought they were going to be on our show today.
They're waiting outside the door. They just want to know what's the biggest news. They can't believe. Sophie Rain can't believe that Hamza Shiraz, what he said.
I don't blame her. I wish she was here to express herself.
She's somewhere here. He did some stuff yesterday. He did some boxing content yesterday.
Yeah, but not inside boxing content. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm gonna catch up with them later and get their thoughts on all sorts of boxing topics.
Because I don't work for MVP. I work for Inside Boxing. I want to see them on Inside Boxing, not MVP.
That'd be sick. Yeah. We'll have them on our Instagram page. It's going to be something different. I think that they're expecting a shit ton of eyeballs on it. That's what MVP does. They push the limits. They introduce new aspects, try to get new eyeballs on the sport. I have some people chirping at me. Oh, I can't believe you're doing this. It's bringing new eyeballs to the sport. It's going to reach a demographic that is not being reached right now in boxing. If it converts them into boxing fans, great. If they take a look at it, and say, oh, that's cool. Like, great. I don't see how this is a bad thing to get 185, 200 million impressions watching Amanda Serrano and watching the future stars. It's just fun. Like, and if you don't like that, go. You can watch the YouTube portion. But it's going to be a very interesting night.
Dan, I got a real fun story for you. You're going to like this. So, as you know, I've been working with the kids over at the local PAL, the Police Athletic League, the Boca Raton Police Athletic League. I've been giving my time to the next generation of kids and working with them and having a lot of fun doing it. Anyway, so we have a bunch of kids in there, and they're young. There's some young kids in there. There's some, you know, we got some teenagers who can really fight that are part of the fight team. But then we have some young guys who are on the way up. And I always ask them, I'm wrapping their hands because they don't know how to wrap their hands yet. And I ask them, like, oh, who's your favorite fighter? And there's a big Mexican population here in South Florida, which is kind of a new thing, especially over here on the East Coast. So I had a couple of Mexicans, like, oh, Canelo Alvarez. I'm like, yeah, all right. And then I'm asking this other kid, and I'm like, hey, who's your favorite? And he goes, Jake Paul. And I go, huh. I'm like, your favorite boxer is Jake Paul. And he goes, yeah, I love Jake Paul. I'm like, cool. I'm like, do you know who Anthony Joshua is? And he goes, no. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, he knocked Jake Paul out.
He goes, he didn't watch the
last
fight.
He was like, no, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, he's a former, you know, heavyweight world champion. He's like, oh, wow. But he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. But like, that's exactly what you're talking about. You have these young kids that would never know anything about boxing if it were not for shows like this, for MVP, for Jake Paul, who brings this younger generation in. And I don't care how people come to our sport as long as they come. Whether it's Jake Paul and MVP, and I think MVP is doing a phenomenal job when it comes to bringing more eyes and awareness to the sport. I think Jake Paul has done a great job with that as well. I think as a promoter, he's one of the best out there right now, literally. So it's I don't know. It's good to see. And firsthand, I saw it with a kid who was like, he's basically there because of what Jake Paul and MVP has done. And I mean, I'm all for it. Whatever brings eyes to the sport, I'm in.
I think the hope is to get that kid that you sit, convert him to a real fan. Convert him to watch a Jamal Harvey, to watch a Teofimo, to watch a Shakur.
Well,
watch
I showed him a picture of Anthony Joshua, and he was like, his eyes went this big. He's like, what? Because if you look at Anthony Joshua, you're like, holy cow. Like, what is?
Yeah, he looks like the heavyweight champion of the
exactly.
world.
Exactly. And he was like, not. Wow. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, he knocked out Jake Paul. He was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I think the main thing you said there is to get more eyeballs in the sport. We're losing eyeballs left and right. And this is a way to reach a whole new demographic. Like the numbers that they're showing us, like the TikTok executives and like what they're projecting for this, it's astronomical. Like you're going to open up TikTok, which is an app that a lot of kids have, and it's going to be there. The fight is going to be there. And they're going to push it to the front. They're going to push the content. They're going to be able to click on a fighter on the screen and get their TikTok, like their fighter's TikTok. It's great for the fighters on this card. That's another thing, too. It's like the fighters that fight on these MVP cards, whether you're signed to MVP or if you're not, they're ecstatic. They're ecstatic with these opportunities that they're getting.
Of course.
Like a guy like Jamal Harvey, like, he's fought on, like, Netflix. He's fought on ESPN, and now he's fighting on TikTok. Like, I see it like poo-poo, what is TikTok? It's a dancing app. It's just thinking different outside the box. Not every fight is going to be on TikTok with MVP. But I think they want to kind of steer their prospect shows to TikTok. But they had to use an experiment here with Amanda Serrano, a huge name, to kind of kick it off. So we get some more people to watch. That's a good thing.
What a world, man.
And I get to hang out with some TikTokers.
Better you than me, buddy. Better you than me.
Get in there, man. It's good for the show. It's good for us. It's good for everyone.
I'm a pop-in guy. I'll pop in for a photo op with Sophie Rain.
You want me to FaceTime you during the show?
Yeah. Do it.
All right.
We'll Can we record that? How do we do that? How do we put
it
out?
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, figure that
out. There's a lot of young kids here that know how to do this that better than I do.
I'll show my abs. It'd be good. Flex the biceps.
That'd be awesome, bro. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. We'll be back either late Saturday night or Sunday morning recapping Teofimo versus Rolly, recapping Amanda Serrano, going for history. Enjoy the show. Tune into TikTok to see your boy.
Have
a great night. Me, Sophie Rain, Natalie Reynolds, others.
I don't know who any of them are. I'm sorry. Sorry, Sophie. I don't even know who Sophie is, honestly.
Google her. Everyone Google her. After the show's over, Google her if you don't already know who she
is.
Really, I know there are some listeners who know exactly.
You know what would be great? If Sophie Rain said, Google us. That would be nice.
All right, I'm going to go catch up with her in the lobby. Have a great weekend, everyone. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.